I'd like to first thank the coordinator, organizer, to invite me to this wonderful workshop. And I wanted to present something. Actually, last time I came here a few years ago in a similar occasion, I didn't get the talk. So I kind of feel strongly that I should give something, but Tom Brown and Norma already came and talk. I will give an interesting presentation. So this is whatever left in my stuff. This is the collaboration. This actually started at Spain a few weeks ago. There was a workshop at Banask, and we talked about G-2. And something, this is a byproduct that started with Kim Moltmann. So this is the plan of talk, the introduction, then this is the not new, old work by actually Elvira. I think you and your company started by using some finite energy, some rule to extract information such as the CKM matrix element or alpha S, etc., from inclusive tau decay. And something may be new here is we could combine this finite energy sum rule with lattice data, Euclidean lattice data, to hopefully have a better control on systematics. And I present a preliminary result, a few hours old or something, so it won't be crisp and may have been susceptible to many systematic error. And I'll discuss and conclude. So my personal motivation is I wanted to find or know if lattice QCD calculation, if it's useful or it could give information on some inclusive decays. Now, usually exclusive mode, such as pions lepton decay or kaons lepton decay or k to pi L nu, these are all initial state and final state are determined. And you have a full theoretical control using lattice QCD, and that's very crisp and nice. But as well as k to 2 pi or b-physics or d-physics. But sometimes the experimenters use the inclusive mode and try to get the information. There are sometimes some discrepancy from inclusive to exclusive mode. And moreover, like we heard this morning, inclusive mode, as I may be able to propagate my feeling, is something to do on lattice. This is excited state contamination. And in this morning, we heard excited state contamination is an enemy of you when you are doing lattice QCD, but I maybe have a physical information. That's another talk. And so it's very, I think it's very, how to say, hand-waving goal. So as a baby step, I like to talk about inclusive tau decay. As a hopefully easier calculation. And this something to do is the optical theorem and the dispersion relation to relate inclusive decay into the lattice or what we want, like CKM matrix element. And eventually, more longer-term goal is you have the G-2 contribution from Hadrian-Kropotkin polarization, and typically E plus E minus theta ratio is used. And rather than only thinking about lattice-only prediction, which is very nice, and we're really working for that, but maybe there's also some synergy. We may be able to check the R-ratio experiment and lattice data each other, or maybe judge some lattice is not good from R-ratio or some R-ratio part, some energy part is not good from lattice point of view. And eventually, may improve this goal 0.23% error. That's a grand goal. And so the first thing about this inclusive business is optical theorem. And this might be too much, but it's nice to always go to field theory book on Peskin or Peskin-Schrader or textbook and remind ourselves we are doing theoretical physics. So the unitarity for this S scattering matrix in terms of this T matrix, because this is preserving probability, this has this cut rule. So imaginary part of T matrix is proportional to T dagger T. And inserting all the possible complete state, energy state between here and here, the optical theorem in terms of the matrix element of initial, let's say, some E plus E minus or nu to tau, nu, to this transfer matrix under any number of momentum mode specified. In terms of this, you can translate this into imaginary part of forward scattering amplitude is sum of absolute value square of all finite state, possible finite. So it's a total cross section from initial state to any. And if you think about this in terms of the initial states, the square root S, the energy square, analytically continue to complex plane, this is known to be, this is analytic in S. And if S is small, below the particle threshold, particle creation threshold, this is real, which means the if you complex S to S star, the amplitude has to be also S star. And the above threshold, the square root branch cut is forming. And from this equation, the real part of below and above branch cut is same. And the imaginary part flip the sign, and just like square root function. And so that this difference between above the cut and below cut is this imaginary part. And from this unitarity, this is a total cross section. And I apologize to maybe this is too obvious for everyone. And this is the basics of how experimenters get the G minus 2 Hadronic vacuum polarization information from R ratio. Tau decay, applying this formula, optical theorem, et cetera, into tau decay is a little bit more complicated because rather than E plus E minus, so this is time, and I go to any hadron, the tau decaying to neutrino and emit W and emit some hadrons or leptons. So your square root S here is part of energy that tau is carrying in initial state is taken by neutrino. So you are dealing with the some little bit modified version of optical theorem. And but nevertheless, the this is related to this tau to hadron is neutrino final state divided by that of E plus nu E lifetime, and that's related to this vacuum polarization. But this time, since this is a weak boson associated and not conserved because it has mass and breaking, and the vector and the axial hadronic vacuum polarization is involved. So, so now reflecting a neutrino carrying the energy, your total hadronic cross section is this integral form, where this, I forgot to put ds, s is running from 0 to m tau square with some kinematical cut. This is a phase space cut under some kinematic cut for spin 1, which is this form, and the spin 0, which is this form. And so this times kinematic factor times the CKN matrix element is this total cross-section. So this is just two-point function coming back to this amplitude. We are dealing with the total cross-section in terms of vector-vector or axial-axial two-point function using cut rule. And here, this combination of spin 1 and spin 0, both vector channel and axial channel added already, I call this pi of s, the Lorentz scalar s. Okay. And a finite energy sum rule is, this is maybe 20, 30 years old in. And I, so you, in this complex plane S, you draw this Pac-Man diagram. And the, on the real axis above the particle creation threshold, for example, the S strangeness channel, this is a K, K is the lowest pole. And this K pi branch cut forming above. And I, so forming this, and I, this imaginary part of your Lorentz HVP, the two-point function or spectral function, is because of this cut rule, this is proportional to total cross-section, which you can read off from experimental data. And the blue line, and the, but the experimental data ends at m tau, because as of here, tau, there's no data from tau experiment. And for any function of omega, if you know the integral of this finite radius contour, usually this is used, this is the part of the QCD and the operator product expansion is used, then you can close the contour and there's no pole here if this arbitrary user input weight function is analytic, no pole here, then the right-hand side, you use the part of the QCD and the OPE. Left-hand side, you use spectral data from tau decay and try to get the information, theoretical information such as CKN or strange mass or alpha S.
Do you expect the OP to work close to the real axis?
So that's exactly the problem. In principle, if this tau is very heavy, part of the QCD should start to work. And the, that's exactly the problem the, this, I think, tau analysis has. So answer is, I think it's a question. And so the left-hand side, the experimental data is used. And Kim Moltmann, she has a private collection of the these tau decay data for both the spin 1, spin 0 channels and the vector and the channels from the B factories or old RF, OPAR, I think. And we take this combination, the, using spin 1 and spin 0 linear combination with this kinematical factor in tau decay. And I tabulated this data. This is detailed, but how this table is organized is first the, so this is how the data looks like. This is JEB square. in x-axis, and the y-axis is a number of final state. For example, this is k pi naught, k minus pi naught, or k zero pi minus, and how many are there in each of bins. And actually, inclusive data is a bunch of, you know, order 100 many different exclusive sum. So this is k zero pi pi, k pi, of course, the k pole is here. And then the bunch of 3 pi, 4 pi, 5 pi, eta started coming. And at the end, after this m tau square, which is 3 GB square or something, we use the perturbative QCD. We have to use some variant of perturbative QCD. And if you add everything, this is the total and will superimpose the data that came. And if you blow up, as you can see, this is K on pole. I'm only concentrating on strangeness final state. And this is K and pi branch cut. And then K to 2 pi and many other state, and eventually some uncertain perturbative QCD prediction. So this is the data size. Now obviously, the larger S goes, the multiplicity of meson is getting larger, and uncertainty grows.
But then also, I mean, so you're assuming there are no resonances beyond 1.7 JeV?
No. I mean, so if you completely rely on the perturbative QCD, yes, that's what is assumed, mm-hmm. which is maybe wrong.
But there's the argument that then you're going to integrate over this and use these global duality type arguments mm-hmm. that even though their resonance is somehow the integral over the resonances has to reproduce perturbative QCD, the integral over perturbative QCD.
No, if there's resonance, you know, the significantly different from perturbative QCD, that's a systematic error. So that's called the hadron quark duality violation or something.
Duality.
And that duality violation, and that's the source of one of, you know,
right.
breakdown.
The bulk is to be assumed exactly as Laurent said, but
it's not perfect, so they estimate conservatives.
Right.
Or hadron duality violation.
Well, so you can have resonances, but if you integrate over them, you get the bulk of that effect through using perturbation theory. Is that correct?
So
that's
I think
what
we,
they assume.
Yeah.
So what? My, you know, I'm not reading every papers, but my understanding is people are doing the perturbative QCD plus OPEs, and however dimension 6 and 8, and the sum of higher dimension is they are using vacuum saturation, you know, matrix element vacuum saturation approximation, which is maybe nothing to do with even this resonance. So that's the source of error. And I'm only so essentially you are integrating this function. And if there is something wrong here, as you can see, this is zero and finite, so there is a finite impact. And just this is the how error is dealt in the experimental data. The Kim has the covariant matrix, as well as the total independent branching fraction error, which we add in quadrature. So it's a best we can do as a not experimentalist. And this is the what the Elvira et al. Did 2002 and then 2005. And now they are more evolved, I think, in the community. And I try to extract US or Alpha S or MS. And sometimes the people do both the UD channel, so the final state is up and down, pi, or US, the K on. And I try to subtract to cancel out some of the systematics of this, for example, the duality violation. And I, but in higher OPE, dimensions 6 and 8, et cetera, it's sometimes the not crisp estimation is done, and that has seemed to be that a large part of the, I think it's more or less consensus. And I, the current latest result from this HFAG 2014 result, comparing to other unitarity or KL3 or KL2 determinations, the VUS is 0.20 to 50 or recently getting smaller, 20 to 40 or 20 to 30 even. But the tau inclusive decay determination from this game is 21.80. So it's minus 3.4 sigma apart from the unitarity. And like already we discussed, yeah, this one of the source of systematic seems to be truncation of part of the QCD, which is very slowly converging, as well as the higher order contribution of OP, or maybe resonance, if there is a resonance. So this is the VUS. These are unitarity or K-on determinations. And these are tau determination. This is the tau inclusive, which is 3 sigma below the this determination. And these are also using tau experimental data, but using exclusive modes, such as K-on final state or pi-on final states ratio or K-on alone. And these are their average for these three. So this is obviously something wrong, and one of the likely scenario is just underestimation of systematic error. And I try to make some use of lattice here. We could think of this finite sum integral, and as I said, this arbitrary function. If you have the analytic function, the contour integral is zero. But since you have access to Euclidean from lattice, you could think of making this weight function, arbitrary weight function, to have a pole in minus of real axis.
Sorry, I had a question about the exclusive tau to. These are just S pi and S k again.
This is the essentially f pi and f k.
So any deviation does not come from QCD compared to, say, KL2
details. Well, did they use the same
f k over f pi?
I think they do. They do. And, you know, this is less than 2 sigma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so that's a good question, but there's other checks, such as the Lepton universality, et cetera, is done. So I think we are not supposed to question or consider this is this has a deviation, and but this is. So if there is something new in this talk, the new thing is we just put a pole in negative S, where lattice has an input. So now this the user-defined weight function WS, we put several pole in negative axis, and what does this negative pole does is several things. So first of all, and your contour integral no longer zero, but the residue of this 3 point which lattice could provide. So now, the experimental integration with this weight function with pole left-hand side is sum of residue at Euclidean plus the contour integral. The radius of contour, if your weight function is enough negative power of s, like power of 3 or more, then this contour integral will be vanishing. because the this cross section is at most growing like S. So S cubed divided by S cubed on the infinite contour will be vanishing.
Are you using a finite contour or an infinite contour?
It's same. The you know, if you moved here, then you anyway have to rely on perturbative QCD here, and which is replacing your contour integral. So it's same. The good thing, maybe good thing about this is the this 1 over S cube weight function suppress the larger error of high multiplicity experimental data, as well as this uncertainty of perturbative QCD. If you, so, yeah. So that's the, what this negative power change. And the as an example of weight function, we think about simplest pole. There are three of them, with the Euclidean pole QK square, K equal 1 to 3. And this function form has some nice features, such as you don't need the logarithmically divergent the Bakken polarization. This is automatically subtracted by choosing this type of the product of poles. But you can also, if you subtract this, you can use other weight function, but this is a little bit deep. So like I said, the most important part is the this have unwanted, suppress unwanted part of data, as well as unwanted assumption, the contribution from unwanted assumption. And also for lattice, this UK square, you can define by hand, so you can design this position of poles such that it's kind to lattice data. So it's not too small, not too large, to avoid the lattice schematics such as Q square zero extrapolation, G minus two's headache, or larger statistical error in Q, small Q square, or maybe finite volume effect as well. And if you, it's Q square is too large, the lattice will suffer from discretization error more. So the our current choice is QK square to be 0.1 to 0.5 JEV square or something. And if it's too large, also this suppression stops working. And you can choose the other type of weight function than this to, for example, enhance the, so you can write some any rational function with negative pole with some weight, then you can make some bell type shape to enhance some of the experimental data or depress some experimental data. So in principle, you have a you can play many interesting game if everything working.
So what, where are the poles located? The right cross, where are they located?
So this is user defined.
This is in the W?
Yes.
Ah, so you, there's no.
This is user defined. So you choose.
Ah, so there's no pole in. There's no pole in.
No, that's you know, what key, I think we say. Yeah.
So how do you select the charm, sorry, the strangeness in the dispersion here?
Lattice, you explicitly use strange quark.
In the
experiment?
In the dispersion relation. So you have to sum over all the intermediate states, or you throw away the, so for example, you have 2π, you have a 2π threshold.
No, you don't have 2π here, because it's
a UD.
But in the total.
Yeah, you're right.
No, you cannot. Or can you?
That's an exclusive measurement, right? Where you can't be identified.
This is meant to be inclusive with a K.
In two things,
but the open expansion is identified in the decay channel.
Good quantum number. So
it's not fully inclusive, it's kind of.
Right.
You identify strangeness one, and then all states with that.
So
when you have the sum of all f in the in the previous, you know, so this is the sum over all the channels, like bye-bye.
Yes, that's if you sum the strange minus one, strange zero, this is the original form. But that you can specify the good quantum number intermediate state, and that the this sum rule is still valid for each of strange zero and strangeness zero and strangeness minus one channel.
I mean, 2CD does not conserve these numbers, so you can select one or the other. Either conserve quantum numbers by 2CD.
You know, I don't know how to prove this, but this is, I guess, this is Brock diagonal in that case. Different strangeness of the Brock diagonal that we are summing over these each trace. And those are still
very independent sectors because QCD doesn't mix.
Right. It's a good quantum number. So it's not totally inclusive. That each of good quantum number inclusive.
So K1 and K2 are neutrino and two. And then they produce the.
Yes, for E plus E minus, this is K1, K2. And the neutrino case, this is modified because neutrino is final state rather than E plus E minus.
But in the formula, they have the same final and initial state?
So these are strictly saying the E plus E minus case. What I think we are thinking in terms of, I'm not actually sure, but starting with W, or fictitious particle that emitting W in initial state, and the talk about analyticity on that combination, which is this what the spin zero and spin one linear combination we call pi. So you know, there's a two-step, right? The cross-section to some analytic function is one thing, which you can do by perturbation theory of this tau decay. And once you you choose the what your target is and they impose analyticity on there, then you can relate this combination into Euclidean S.
You mean to say differently? No, the leptonic part factorizes.
Right.
You have a leptonic part and a hadronic part. Just look at the analyticity properties of the two points.
So these are formula, and we are treating this part. So differential cross section of this decay mode specifying S, and treating this combination to relate while doing the finite energy summary. This is still good information because VUS or alpha S or everything is here.
At least three poles,
yes.
Least, but in principle, you can have more.
It can have more. If you have more, and this suppression is doing, this is original experiment data as a function of S I showed before, and it has a large error. And if you have three poles, then you have the pole sitting negative Euclidean, three of them. And you have 1 over S cube damping multiply this. So you have enhancing the K on pole. and k pi, and k pi pi pi, and the other part of the QCD, which is becoming almost zero. So that's how this weight function with pole is doing. So still this is inclusive, but the inclusiveness is getting smaller and smaller. And if you wish to enhance the, you can use other polynomial. But as our first example, this is the what this is doing. And so that's a left-hand side of the experimental input. And now we need, that's HVP from right-hand side. That's you must have heard at least three times. So why, if you, and Marina gave the nice talk last week. So I'm not talking about that, but I we are measuring this vector-vector and axial-axial correlation function, and we are using local current, which does not have a conservation role. We multiply a renormalization factor, and we choose essentially this so-called moment method, the Fourier space derivative, to suppress UV divergence, so it doesn't have 1 over n divergence. So its local current without conservation law is OK. That's a technical detail, but I think becoming the community's knowledge recent years. And then, as usual, the tensor is decomposed into spin 1, spin 0, like a Minkowski state. And zero mode is subtract. And my particular choice here is so-called this direct double subtraction or sine coordinate transformation or HPCD moment. The many variants, but it's the same thing. You start from coordinate space and multiply this arbitrary fractional momentum, not necessarily 2 pi over n times integer. And then you can convince yourself this is the good representative of the scalar spin 0 and spin 1 Hadron vacuum polarizations. And typically, these Lorentz scalar has a larger relative error as you go to q squared 0. So you don't want to go to q squared equals 0. You should choose the larger q squared, not too large to suffer from discretization error. And this is the so this is just the example calculation. It's not crisp in any sense. We use domain wall 2 plus 1 flavor, 5 femtometer, physical point, almost physical point. So the KL mass is 4 MeV heavier than physical. Pion mass is also 5 MeV heavier than pion. And we also use another two ensemble to assess the discretization error. So this is just baby step. And my plan is doing finer lattice to on physical point to get more crisp result. And this is a preliminary result. I already divide the experimental input left hand side of finite energy sum rule, but by the unitarity determination 2253. Okay, so if 2253 is correct and this finite energy sum rule plus lattice is consistent, we should get the left hand side from experiment and right hand side from lattice with arbitrary pole location identical. And what I am plotting here is I choose three poles. And two of poles are 0.2 and 0.3 Jeb square. So it's not too large, it's not too small stuff. And the other last third pole to be x-axis. So for each of x-axis, I put, for example, this is 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 poles. This is my weight function now. And I get this red is lattice, and the black is the experimental weighted integral divided by the US square of this number. So that it's roughly coincide, and but as you increase the Q square, the third pole, fixing second pole and third pole, you see some deviation, and that is getting larger and larger, which means this VUS is smaller in if you want to match this.
And that's the discretization.
That's what I wanted to think, but it's yet to, to be confirmed. And the current discrepancy.
Sorry, for the, there is a perturbative part now in the data?
Yes.
And so how do you treat that? Do you use
this is the DAM D equals zero perturbative pure perturbative QCD. I didn't include any of OP.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter.
How many loops or how many?
I think it's three loops. I have to check.
Okay.
But in principle, you could eliminate from your lattice data the high Q square region and eliminate also.
No, because then you would have to do the contour.
Your Q square is also limited from lattice, and the with this weight function, this doesn't matter. The uncertainty of part of the case is absolutely negligible with comparing to other statistics, and that's the goal A. And so this very preliminary data suggests with this weight function that which suppressed the bad part of noisy part of the experiment and perturbative QCD part, the already experimental data is around 1% or small. If I did the covariant matrix analysis, et cetera, correctly. And there is this BEL2 turning on at KK, so maybe we can expect even more better precision. On the lattice, this is actually, you cannot see this, but it's actually smaller than experimental error right now. And of course, this is the only statement about statistics, not systematics. Looking into more detail, this is little bit of why this is cheating, because your totally inclusive cross section is a combination of k and k pi and k pi pi pi, and like we discussed, the k pole is nothing but f k. Okay, so this is the lattice this gray. And the experiment or FK input from the experiment. So these two need to be coincide, which miss a little bit due to heavier quark mass. So, and which is partly compensating this other more real comparison, the other than K-pole contribution deviation from lattice and experiment. So I'm saying, if I tune everything perfectly for strange the quark masses, this k on pole contribution should exactly match to lattice calculation. That's this is just weird way of seeing the FK.
And the fact that you're in the finite lattice spacing.
Yes, I'm dreaming if I take every continuum limit and limit. Then this should be exactly coincide. And this is, the other than K-pole is real information. And which currently has, I think 8% or so deviation. So if you're excluding K-pole, so this is a real comparison. And the difference between that is and experiment are 8% in an integral. Or y-axis of this plot, and I propagate to VUS because VUS squares in it, 4% discrepancy. And it happened to be smaller size, so it's getting closer to the current determination of inclusive VUS, but I think this is still, we cannot say anything about that. And looking at the other lattice data, the coarser lattice and the finer lattice with heavier quark mass with same gauge and domain or Fermion action, discretization error direction is downside. So this part is now this two red and brown, and the black one is experiment, and this is 48 cubes lattice, and since this is going downside by taking continuum limit, I'm expecting this going down. So at least the direction of discretization error is compensating the scene this discrepancy. So that's best we can say at this moment. So discretization error make the difference smaller, and making VUS from KL3 determination closer. And of course, there's other systematic errors. The good news is we don't need disconnected core group. So that's good. I think that's good check for good exercise for HBP where you need disconnected error for G-2. I think largest source of systematic error is quark mass. We are still a little bit off, which we can correct by partial quench calculation. Finite volume error, I hope this is small, but we don't know for sure. The maybe reducible error before doing this actual QED or MU not equal D simulation, the isospin correction is also standard probe. So those are systematic errors I'm seeing. The all errors are divided by two because of this VUS square combination is including in this channel. And so that's the all I wanted to report. And the future thoughts are, of course, the same tau decay, we can take this strangeness zero channel and maybe try to contact with alpha S or something else, or check this hadron duality violation. That's technical, but I think interesting exercise. Also, the E plus E minus case, this is, I think, like I said, it's a good check for our HBP G minus 2 calculation. So you can input E plus E minus R ratio and do the some arbitrary weight function integral to match the lattice data and see how you are good or not bad. So that's the we can do immediately. And the more grand thought is the can we do other inclusive channel? And like I said, the these each of channels, your information is in the Euclidean, and that each of the poles or states are contributing to these, not necessarily the ground state of this channel. So, on lattice also you are calculating point to point, so and integrated over Fourier space, which definitely has the excited state, happen to be small in the K1 channel. I checked this. This is invisible, but the other channel, the excited state is there, and that's the physical information. If your interest is inclusive, and so that's my final thought about that discussion. Thank you.
Questions?
So the experimental data that you use for this is not the same as it was used by the heavy Clebore averaging group to get the number you showed before, right? You are including new
Babas. Right? The Kim is so-called the Baba Bell associate, uh-huh. And he has some internal information, and we use for branching fraction. of BK pi, I think, the supposedly better determination. That's, I think, the one of the difference between H5.
How does it compare with the other one?
I think it's the 2%.
Larger or smaller?
Larger.
Larger.
Larger. You mentioned something.
Yes, because one of the issues with the with this determination, with the one we did before, and the fact that you have a value of US that is much smaller than the determination, it could be coming from experimental data.
Sure.
The factor is branching fractions are systematically smaller than the old data from Aleph, for example. So there is some, you know, concern about the B factors data.
I see. That's what
it would be good to have new data, the numbers from the B factors and see, for example, K2 pi channel is
right.
You say that it's going.
That's actually the main contribution.
It partially can, well, I don't know how much can make up for the.
It's currently mostly K-pi. K-pi is dominant.
Yeah, that's the most important.
So the conspiracy that Kim and I have is, you know, encourage the Bell 2 to provide a more, you know, crisp and better numbers.
Questions?